So we just came back from this incredible trip.
I have to say it was just a great group of people and a great trip to you know, England, Poland, and I really enjoyed the people that I enjoyed the people I was with on that trip. That's the part that was always interesting. It was one of the best trips, and I've been on many, but the people, there was just a really cool connection with everybody. So, anyway, what came out of that is this is a funny story, and I think sometimes God does things in our lives, and he ties things together, but we don't always see them being tied together. So, at one point, some have heard the story, but it's a funny story, so I have to tell it. But each day when we were in one location, we each had sometimes the duty to watch the children. All right. Great. Hang on one second. Wait for me. I will be there shortly.
Where?
I get it. I have to take. I have to help somebody. Take him to the hospital. But it's not an emergency. But Antoine's eye. Okay. Let me tell the story. But it's no big deal. Okay, stay with me in the story. So it was my day to take care of the children on this trip. And I knew I had to do one thing. Libby, I only had one thing to do. Feed them lunch, like you know, right?
Yeah.
And then for them to do their homework, okay? Well, I was so busy, and we were in a foreign country. Trying to find a place to eat wasn't easy. So I looked up some place, and I said, oh, good eat, good reviews. And we took like a cab, an Uber, to go there. So we go there, and we got two Ubers, and we're going and going, and we're driving and driving. Then it seemed like we were in the middle of nowhere, and I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know where I am, and I've got all these children, and I'm like, this is crazy, and I'm hungry. And then we pull into this big lawn, gorgeous lawn, but in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, what is going on? And they basically said, okay, you're here. And I am like, where is here? And I finally realized, so I walk in and I see this huge, beautiful restaurant. And I realize I've made a huge mistake. I've taken 11, 12, and 13-year-olds who have their school books, were dressed like this, to a basically American, but it's American version of a 5-star restaurant. Mm-hmm. I don't have that kind of money. But we're gone. The cab's gone. We're there. We're stuck. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, but I'm like, we have to eat. Maybe it isn't going to be that expensive, whatever. And I go inside and I realize we're at the royal palace where the king of Poland is. Like the whole nine yards. I'm like, all right. So I go in there, and this is where the story gets interesting. And they meet you at the door, and our kids have their backpacks, and we're like, you know, it's like, hey, you know. And they're like, can I help you? And then I was like, yes, you can. We're going to eat here. Because I just didn't like the way he was kind of looking down on us. So I said, okay, it's on. I said, we're here to eat. So the kids, they take off their backpacks, their coats, their, you know, their hats, the whole nine yards, because there's a special person who takes that for you over to the hat check, the coat check. We fill up the place. And then we go in, and there's this beautiful garden, and we are sitting there inside this gorgeous table, and the waiter comes over. What may I have you help give you? And he's poured it. Everyone thinks they order water, but it's expensive water. And he keeps coming, bottle after bottle after bottle of expensive water. And then I just said, listen, kids, I said, this is going to break my bank, which it did. And I know Libby wouldn't like that. It was a lot of expense. Okay. But it broke my bank. But I said, every one of you needs to have this happen at least once in your life. To be treated like the way God thinks of you. And then I turned to the ladies and I said, if a guy doesn't do this for to you, don't bother marrying. Every one of you need this. And I said, so we're going to learn today how to sit and to be in a place like this, understanding just who we are. And that's what we did. We spent the afternoon there. We ate. They ate things that they had never eaten before, like veal, things that they didn't even know what they were, venison, you know, mutton, whatever, what have you. And like, okay, everyone sit up straight, okay? Now take your wine glass, turn it upside down. That means you don't drink wine. So, you know, we just sat there. I'm like, okay, now we don't go, we bring the food to us. And we take the soup first. This is the first course. And then, like, okay, the bread comes out. They put the bread down first. And they're showing it to us. And they put it down first with a hot patty and, like, a little thing. And that goes the first thing. Okay, everyone, have that. Then they come and take that away. And they come the next course with the soup. And then we're taught how to eat the soup. Oh, they got a little bit. No. But I'd, like, put the napkin in your lap. Okay, you'll just use it where no one can see you. We do the whole thing. And like, okay, sit up straight. I said, now, here's something very important to know. You're going to be hungry after this. Because the food that you pick is going to be beautiful, but definitely not enough. Because the people who eat here don't eat there because they're hungry. They eat here because they can. And they want to be treated this way. So we had one waiter, then another. Everything was always a show. Like, three would come to the table and what have you. And, you know, they're just taking it all in. We have JR, one of our guys, taking it. But then I loved it. At the end, it was kind of like, could we see your dessert menu? You know, so some of us had dessert. And we're like, yes, we're going to order what you don't think we deserve. So we had dessert around and all that yours. And it broke my bank. I mean, I was like, okay, that's it. I said, okay, good thing I brought trail mix. That's what I'm eating. You know, but I said, this is an amazing thing. And I really blessed them. And I believe I've heard now from some of the parents, that's the story they all tell me, that it meant something to them. I talked with the father of one of them today, and he said, that's what she talks about. It was a moment for her to think about this. And it even was more special because about a day and a half later, someone walked up to me and handed me about $100. They didn't know that I was broke. They didn't know that I had spent all of that money. They didn't know anything. And I had not asked anybody or said anything. They just handed it to me, and they said, this is for you. So I immediately shared that with these people that I said, this is God. You know, because, and while before we left that restaurant, then the people in the restaurant were asking about our kids. And then we had a blast. We just had fun and enjoyed the moment. So here's a great verse. And there's more I could say. Maybe next week I'll say it. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it's in verse 13. And I'm going to read it in what's called the New King James Version. It says, and the Lord, he will make you the head and not the tail. And that's Deuteronomy 28:13. You shall be above only and not beneath. Okay, let's just look at that part. What do you think, in this room, if we would ask, what do you think that verse means? And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. Lily, what would you, if you had to guess, what would you think that verse meant?
What's the one was it? Deuteronomy
28 and verse 13. Okay. And the Lord, each one of you, think about it. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath.
I guess he's saying that you are just as equally as important as everyone else, or you're just as, maybe not important, but you're just as equal as everyone else. Like, everyone's just equal, all the same.
Okay.
No one's below like no one's, how do I say it? Like no one's beneath you. You got like everyone's just the same.
That's good. You know? No one is beneath me.
Right.
Yeah, is that what you were saying?
Is that something like that?
Yeah. Anybody else want to add to that?
Or that I'm not beneath anyone. That like maybe that other people aren't. Like I could think something about myself, but God sees me as the head, not the tail.
Yeah, because well, let's think about this. When we think of the head and we think of the tail of an animal, nobody, they always call that tail end of an animal the business end. Because, obviously, nobody goes up to an animal and, like, pets the butt and just spends a lot of time back there, right? Because this is kind of like, you know, it's going to come out kind of disgusting. And, you know, if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to be Halloween or you're going to be something, people all want to be the head. Nobody wants to say, I'll be the butt end, you know. No one wants to be the back end. No, people want to be the head. There's nothing, even if the head is like privilege, the head is like, okay, you should be the head and not the tail. You know, a child, if you say, okay, you're going to be the tail, you know, that child is not going to be happy. There's something about the head. What do we know about the head?
It thinks.
It leads. What else?
It sees.
What about it? What else?
Hears.
Has power. We don't say the power in the butt, right? Oh, you've got some power. You know? No, nobody says that, right? It's like there's power. There's prominence. Like, you know, there's pride in the head. Like, that's amazing. The head leads. The head has the pride. There's something special about it. And what about the idea of being above and not beneath? Like, do we prefer to be beneath and say, well, like, do we prefer to be, oh, you're beneath? Or, like, we all know that that is an insult. There's nothing, no one would say, oh, Connie, you're beneath. Like, no one's going to say that's not an insult, right?
Right.
But to be above, there's something special about that. And you know what? When that incident happened, and it was a privilege. I realized this would be unintentionally, this was going to be the one of the greatest lessons on the trip that those children would have. But those children, maybe for the first time, would know that they are the head and not the tail. But they are above only. I love how it says that, and not beneath. And this is God to us. He is telling us that. And I wanted them to know that. And here's the thing. God, he kind of solidified, he validated, you know, what I said by this person coming in and giving me that money back. To say that it was right for you to do that because that is who you are in me. You know? I don't need to go to that restaurant every day. Many of those people, they go to those restaurants to feel good about themselves, to feel that. God gives me that. But what God said, basically, you could have that, that's who you are. There's a great verse of Ecclesiastes that says, you know, I see princes, meaning, or princesses, we could say, walking with men. And I see servants riding horses. Can anyone tell me what they think that means? I see princes walking on the earth, and I see servants riding horses. Because you would think which one?
The prince should be on the horse.
Okay, so can anyone tell me an analogy of that in light of what we're talking about?
Like, you would think that those kids would be serving the people, and that those people would be sitting there kind of like, I expect to be served, and that they think maybe that's all they can get to in life.
Right. So normally on a day-to-day in York, you see our kids, or any of us, when we're doing our thing, do you feel like you're on a horse at time, or do you feel like you're walking on the earth? Which do you feel like on a day-to-day basis? Do you feel like you're one of those people riding the horses? Or do you feel like you're walking the earth?
Walking the earth.
Right. And God is saying, guess what? The true princesses of the world, they are hidden among us and they are walking the earth. And at the end of time, we will see that. But there are those who are servants, meaning like, honestly, God is saying, you may think, but you're riding the horse. You may go to a restaurant like that every day, but you are actually just a servant. And honestly, because you are not my child, you're not in my kingdom, because I make all of my kings and priests unto our God. I make all of my children, they are princesses and princes to me. So I guess what I'm saying is that the illustration here is, and I would go into it next week, and I would have gone into it this week, in Esther chapter 5, but there's an idea that there's always a plan, there's always something going on that's developing, and it has the ability to project to me, to tell me that I'm nothing. It has the ability to project to me, to tell me that I'm actually a servant. It tells me that I'm the tail, not the head. It tells me I'm beneath. And it's in the day-to-day of my life, I can have this voice in my head, I can have this self-talk, I can have maybe people even, unfortunately, around me might tell me that. But they're wrong. Because the Lord says that I'm above only. And so there is a plan by Satan to tear me down, to make a head a tail. It's calculated. Oh, but I love this. There is a better plan by God that makes a head, that keeps a head, that keeps me above, even when all of darkness is trying to make a tail out of me. Today we had some, hard news. We had someone else, Sarah's sister was going to join us. And that can be, if I'm her, especially because you're around rough people. Customs people are rough people. They're not kind. I remember being in Paris begging them not to take my knife that I had. And they're just rough. They're aggressive. You know why? Because they are servants riding horses. They've got a job. They're aggressive. They know they have the power. And it could make me feel like I'm the tail. It could make me feel like I'm beneath. And God says, no, 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 no. I have a plan. And my plan is that you are always the head, even in this. You are always the head. Even when it appears that a plan is in place that would make you believe that's not the case. Even if seemingly destruction is right there, and we could say, but I was destroyed. But were you? Because I later that afternoon, and I'm sure in light of everything, I'm having a conversation, over a woman lost a baby. And it just seems like destruction. But there's light. There's light. That's the crazy part, is that there's light. In darkness is light. Right now, inside my hand is darkness. But once I expose it to the light, it's light. Wow, Latasha, that is an amazing experiment. Well, thank you. Let me do that again. That's dark in there. So I'm going to throw it in the light so that you can see that darkness. See it? Anybody see it?
No.
Because it's not here. Now, the reverse is not the same. If I were to turn out the light right now and I were to light a candle, would you see the candle? See, that's fascinating. The idea is that Satan would love to build his darkness, but darkness has no power against light. But light has incredible power against darkness. Light is something that's going to shine in darkness. It does what it does. But darkness loses power in the light. Satan wants to convince me at all times that I'm in darkness. He wants to tell me that his darkness is greater than the light within me and the light of those around me and the light of the God above me. And it's a lie. It's a joke. It's no different that you guys were like not really amazed when I tried to throw darkness in the air. It's an impossibility. But that's our life as well. That case of darkness is building. But honestly, haven't you ever had something to be so intense? It's, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. And then all of a sudden, it's like so easy and God is like loving us in it and we got through it. That's because when light comes in, darkness can't do anything. And I guess I'm saying that there is always going to be a case building for darkness. But as long as there is light, the darkness will not, it cannot abide against it. It cannot, it will not even be noticeable in it. You and I are above. You and I are the head. And whatever is building, whatever built, I came back from Europe and I can't even go to all of the details of all the lists that came that I heard within 72 hours. And it was like a lot of darkness. And I said, wait a minute. But you know what? Where there's that much darkness, there must be light. We don't know where or how, but that darkness built itself. But once it's exposed, it's light. You and I are, we have light. We are light by the grace of God. And we sit at a table like we did at a restaurant around the royal palace because that's what God has made us to be. But I don't need to sit there every day to know that I'm the head. But I can sit there because I am the head. Does that make sense? I'm above only. I'm not beneath. And your circumstances today and tomorrow are going to try to tell you different. I mean, Sarah's sister's got it's going to take some time. It's devastation, you know. But you're not destroyed. There's so much. I don't know what it is. I don't know. You could, you know, maybe you're cast down in 2 Corinthians 4, that we could be cast down for the second part of that verse, but not destroyed. I can be thrown down, but not destroyed. And so that's the way it is. That's really all I wanted to say, is that I think the only thing I would be sorry about in heaven is the many, many times that I have led myself to believe that this darkness was greater than this light. That's my only regret. Because maybe I'm in that darkness, but not really understanding that it is never going to be greater than the light. As soon as the sun rises in the morning, the show is over. We don't wait around like, the night doesn't say, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to whatever. No, the sun, he just has to show his face. The sun rises, you know, and all of a sudden the show's over. The sun. So there's a lot of darkness. And well,
I was going to say, isn't everybody in the darkness until they become Christians and accept God?
Yeah.
And they accept the light in?
Yeah, and then the light is special. Mm. But even as Christians, sometimes I can think darkness, though. Because that's not easy way to go and go darkness in my thinking. Right. And I can forget. I just know it's easy to go, oh, man. And like I said, you know, those things, I mean, my heart went out for so many people over the past several weeks. And I had to kind of almost shake myself. Latasha, yes. Am I not light? Yes, God, you are. Do I not hold the world together? Yes, you do. Then can this darkness really be darkness? Or could I have a plan? No, you must, God. Psalm 139 says, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. God's not sitting and going, like tonight, God's not going, oh my gosh, it's dark. I'm not going to, where are they? Where did she go? God can see equally in that because they're just the same to him.
Pastor Jay was saying on Sunday how people speak it, like they speak their darkness or they speak what they have, like they say it, and that's when the devil starts to use it against you. He said, don't speak it, don't say it, don't say something against you or anybody else that's bad, because that's when the devil will start to use it against you. Just keep it inside of you. Don't say it. Don't speak any darkness, because that's when it gets used against you.
That's good. Yeah, because then we're feeding this little thing. Let's not feed that. Like, I have to believe that, for instance, Sarah's sister, and I kind of alluded to it, like, okay, I understand that, but I just have to believe that it, sometimes the darkness is tricky, but in a bad way. It's almost too complicated for itself. When something so crazy happens that shouldn't happen, then you and I should look for light somewhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I mean by if, like, for instance, if it was so, like, crazy that Sarah's sister didn't come, then I have to believe that there's some higher purpose for her good that God is going to do and that is doing. And this adds to that. You know, that's the way I have to, that's what, when Chelsea, God bless her, lost that baby, I have to believe that there's something greater. You know, our love, our prayers, have to know that that's the way God is. Just the way he is. And that's why I'm saying we are the head. And if these kids have learned a little bit of that, that I'm the head. Oh. That God is for me, then that's important. All of them, whether in the school, even adults, we all need to know that. We are from the moment I first have understanding to the moment I die, that God himself is absolutely like in control, and he is making me and is keeping me to be the head and above only, and he is planning for my good. And so, yes, if it's darkness now, joy comes in the morning. It's just the way it is. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm headed to the hospital. Gotta go. Okay, I'll see you guys.